Welcome to another episode of Trailblazing Leaders of Tomorrow. I'm your host, Rusmane Lee, and this season is about shining a spotlight on visionary individuals who are shaping the future across diverse fields. Today, we are joined by my fantastic co-host, Elijah.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, but it's good to be back, and for a good reason as well. Today, we're thrilled to have with us Jennifer Ollie, an inspiring figure in the legal profession who has already been making a tremendous impact.
Wow. That's how they introduce you, Jenny. Crikey.
Yeah.
Introduction. Anyways, I'm absolutely thrilled to have you on here. Obviously, we work closely. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. But I guess just to kind of introduce you a bit more. Jennifer, an independent advocate at Power, where obviously you fight for justice on behalf of the vulnerable individuals who often don't have a voice in the judicial system. And I think that's actually really insightful, because a lot of what the Black Policy is about, the youth advisor, the Young People's Advisory Group, and, you know, like 100 Corp, the things that we're doing, we'll talk about all of those things later on, is all very much aligned around that, you know, kind of providing a voice for the voiceless. But I digress. Should we get into some questions, Ruth?
Yes, absolutely. You did forget her full intro. There was a bit more to it.
Do you know what? Take it away.
Okay.
Take it away.
So Jennifer has a very diverse background that includes business development at Pinson Mason, legal work with the Crown Prosecution Service, and leadership roles at the prestigious 100 Club, which Elijah is also part of. Jennifer brings a unique and powerful perspective to the world of law.
In addition, Jenny, you also, because that wasn't enough, you also actively are involved in mentoring future barristers through the Amos Bursary, and you're a member of COMBAR, the Commercial Bar Association, shaping the next generation of legal professionals. So with that being said, Jenny, it is an absolute
pleasure and
honor to welcome you.
Yay. Thanks for having me, guys. I feel honored.
You should.
Lovely. Okay, now we can kick right in. So to start with your journey into law, Jennifer, every barrister has that aha moment where they realize that advocacy is their calling. What was yours? Was there a pivotal experience or influence that made you say, this is it, I'm becoming a barrister?
Good question. I think for me, the moment I realized I wanted to be a barrister, like obviously pursue a legal career, I remember attending a court hearing where the barrister's ability to present a case and like fight for real justice really struck out for me. It wasn't just about the law per se, but it was actually like the human element of advocacy. I think helping people navigate complex issues and defending their rights was really something that I wanted to highlight within my own personal career going forward. I think that was my aha moment, to be honest. I knew that witnessing a barrister stand in court and obviously using their voice to advocate for others was definitely something that I wanted to dedicate into my career.
Sounds like it's inspirational. And I guess like my follow-up would be like, has there ever been a moment where you think, sod it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, really? You had them? No, I'm going to be like, absolutely not.
No,
I'm true for the cause. Oh, she's like, okay, tell, okay, like, yeah. Give us an example of one, or like, describe a moment where you may have felt like that, or what has caused you to feel like that.
I mean, for me, I feel like studying the bar has been the most difficult part up to now. I feel like there was a lot of times where I felt like, am I really going to finish the year? I studied the bar full-time, a full-time year course. Okay. But I feel like a few months into it, I asked myself, okay, what did I get myself into? But at the same time, it's like, I know what I want to be. I know who I want to be. And this is just part of the process. So if I'm going to cry, I'm going to cry. But I'm going to get back up. If I'm going to take a break from doing my work after a long day, I'm going to stop doing my work and I'm going to take a breath. And I'm going to come back to it and keep going, because at the end of the day, it's all part of the process. It's just a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. So let me just continue and see how it goes. And I've passed now. So
I was going to say, look where we are now.
Thank God. No, I've passed.
Saying that shows like a lot of determination and resilience, because you can just go, you know what, I'm not doing this, and just throw it in the bin there. But even be able to have that moment where you can actually say to yourself, you know what, I've done a lot today, let me take a break. That is a really core skill. Even I'm trying to learn that one. Being able to separate relaxing from work and not just squidging them together. So being able to say, you know what, I've done a lot today, let me actually put this down and have a cup of tea or watch my favorite TV show today, that really makes a difference, honestly.
Yeah I feel like, because I've always been the kind of person to do, I've always done essay-based subjects. For GCSEs I done psychology, no that's a lie, for GCSEs I done French, sociology and history. really heavy subjects.
Of course, yeah.
Elijah doesn't like that.
Yeah, I feel like everyone that pursued the law path really went with the essay.
Yeah, they really went
in. Y'all were writing. Yeah.
You have to prepare yourself to take a law degree on or even the bar course. Yeah. You have to prepare for it.
And then for A-levels, I'd done psychology, sociology, and then philosophy and ethics, which was a nightmare within itself, to say the least. And then obviously my undergrad law, straight law, and then obviously taking a break from that, coming back to study the bar was just a lot.
But I mean, you did it, like,
thank God for that. I think it took a lot of prayer. It was prayer that kept me going personally. My faith really, really heightened and increased whilst I was studying the bar for that year. I think that's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Thank God, come out strong.
You did,
in the end.
Independent advocate, fighting for other people now. But even just for a moment, just to look back at your educational foundation, you completed your LLB at the University of Law, twin in here, and your barrister training course at BPP University. How do you think these experiences shaped your understanding of the law and prepared you for the for your journey as a barrister?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my legal education has been foundational to my degree at the University of Law. I feel like my LLB gave me a solid grounding for the theoretical aspects of law, helping me to understand key legal principles. And obviously, when I moved to the barrister training course that I studied at BPP Uni, that helped me gain the practical experience, learning how to apply those principles from undergrad into real life situations. Right. From, for example, drafting submissions to obviously honing advocacy skills. I feel like the balance between academic rigor and practical training prepared me for the next steps of my career and deepened my understanding of the legal system.
And then with that crossover, taking the theoretical into practical, what really helped you shaping your theoretical learning into practical? So what guided you on that path?
I feel like a lot of the extracurricular stuff that I done helped me in terms of just the transferable skills. Obviously working with 100 Corp within that time really helped me navigate speaking to people, learning how to put things on paper, and obviously incorporate that into my advocacy when I'm speaking to clients, course, and speaking to individuals in general. So I feel like 100 Corp really helped me a lot. Thanks.
So it's all about getting involved with think tanks then. Maybe audience, take some notes.
Take some notes. I guess, like, you know, just touching on that, and I did want to kind of like talk about your work with 100 Club and 100 Corp later, but probably now will be a good time. But obviously you are the chair of the advisory board and you are the stakeholder liaison officer. So for those of you listening at home that don't know much about 100 Club or 100 Corp, it's a career development agency that is tasked with helping graduates and 16 to 18 year olds think about kind of like post education career options and just kind of supporting them in that journey. But like, what have you learned from your time, especially as like stakeholder liaison officer, and kind of, you know, you've been really instrumental to a lot of the work that we've been doing and engaging with others and, you know, putting on insight events and things like that. What has that experience been like for you?
I feel like the leadership in the roles taught me how to balance multiple interests and obviously keep the organization's vision at the forefront of my head. I feel like it also reinforced the importance of like collaboration, whether with colleagues or other stakeholders and just the wider community as a whole. I feel like the leadership roles really strengthened my communication skills and gave me like a deeper understanding of influence.
I guess that's useful for a barrister.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We're doing something, right? No, that sounds really good. And I think like it's great to know that the work that you're doing for 100 Corp is complementary to the career you're trying to have and not something in conflict. You know, I've had other episodes where we're speaking with other people who also do extracurricular things. And
I feel like everything helps to build you as a person. So the extracurricular kind of contributes, because transferable skills, we've had this conversation before, but it's quite important to building who you are as a person outside of your work, and then you can use some of that to develop being a barrister, being a solicitor, being a civil servant. All those skills come together to kind of help you lead your career. That's how I see it. But just to touch from there, let's touch more on your diverse career. So you worked in business development at Pince and Mason and marketing at Yonder. How have these experiences prepared you for your journey towards becoming a barrister and for taking the courtroom in the future?
I feel like those roles gave me a unique perspective on the legal profession,
right?
Particularly from a client-facing and business point of view. I feel like working at Pinson Mason's allowed me to understand how law firms operate strategically. And at Yonder, I developed an understanding of how to communicate effectively with clients and like other stakeholders.
They'll do it. Yeah, that'll do it. Well, you've also obviously had an opportunity to volunteer as a legal assistant at the Crown Prosecution Service and as a barrister's assistant at Southwark Crown Court. Big up your skin. what like main lessons did you take away from those kind of experiences that you think will influence your work today or even your work tomorrow?
I feel like seeing the intricacies of how cases are built and how barristers approach their work from both a prosecution's point of view and a defence's perspective really opened my eyes. I feel like these roles taught me the importance of a meticulous preparation, but also the need for empathy and understanding, especially when dealing with sensitive or like challenging cases. And that's something I've definitely come across during my independent advocacy role at the moment. I feel like these roles and experiences continue to influence my approach to advocacy. Mm. And it definitely has shaped my perspective on like justice.
That's funny you say that, because literally my next question was going to be, did this ignite your passion for advocacy? Takeaway, but I guess we have the answer.
She's preempting us. So having a look at your mini pupillage that you did at 11KBW, would you say that was a prestigious step in your journey? And what was the most surprising lesson you learned during that experience?
For those of you that can't see, I don't know if she's about to pray or faint. I really don't know right now.
I apologise.
I mean, interesting.
Take your time. Good question. Would you say, 11KBW was a prestigious step? Would you think that's like an accurate thing to say, or not so much? Because I think like different people have different views. Some of these things are prestigious. Some necessarily like don't.
I feel like the mini pupillage is always a very good opportunity to gain, and I feel like one of the most surprising lessons that I took away was the sheer complexity of the cases. Obviously, every single barrister specializes in different things.
Okay.
The particular barrister that I was shadowing during my mini pupillage specialized in a lot of different things. So it was interesting. I feel like everyone that wants to be a barrister should gain a mini pupillage personally. But for me, during that experience, I think seeing how the barrister navigated through intricate legal issues with such precision and clarity was inspiring, and it was really eye-opening. I feel like it was a lot more motivation, to be honest. I feel like doing mini pupillages really opened my eyes to how complex legal issues actually are.
Very interesting. And did that experience kind of make you think I should look into doing more than one, like specializing in more than one area, or did that kind of set you and saying, no, I definitely want to do just this jurisdiction?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely did open my eyes to a lot more things out there, because a lot of barristers specialize in all different types of things. Like some specialize in criminal, and then some specialize in family, but then they'll also switch around and specialize in like personal injury as well. So there's a lot more out there than what is put on the internet. So it really takes a lot of experience, practical experience, and research. I think the two go hand in hand. So mini pupillages are a very good eye opener.
Yeah. I've definitely like noticed, obviously I don't have much of a relation to law, but like I've noticed a similar trend in terms of like young people, graduates. There's a lot more out there than you know, and you need to make it your mission to educate yourself, because if you don't, you're just going to miss out on what could have been the career of your life. But I digress. I guess looking forward and, as you continue your journey to becoming like a barrister, what advice do you give to the younger Jennies of the world? What is your advice to aspiring barristers about the skills, like physical skills, they should be developing? So not so much the, keep at it, try hard, but like what could they practically do? You know me, I'm a very skill set based person. I don't like all that mindset stuff as much. But like if there was one piece of advice you could give the younger Jennies of the world, what would they be?
Focus on communication. I feel like communication is an easy answer for anyone to give, but genuinely, if you want to be a barrister, learn to communicate in different scenarios. You could have a client that's really, really angry. You can get a client that doesn't want to talk to you. You can get a really, really chatty client. You need to learn how to navigate and communicate. Also,
talk
resilience.
That's a big one.
Yeah. As the path to the bar, it can be long and challenging.
I can confirm she's not about to pray. She is about to faint.
I saw the eyebrows go up.
Not
going
to faint, guys. I will not faint. But yeah, I will. I mean, another thing I would say is developing emotional intelligence is equally as important as like resilience. And I say that because the ability to understand and relate to your clients, it's very crucial. And I think it's something that you need to build your legal expertise. Personally, guys,
don't come for us, but don't come for me if you don't agree.
Take it or leave it.
No, but honestly, it's very insightful. That's really
like
good advice
though. Yeah,
it really is. But we always like to ask our guests on this show, what legacy are you hoping to leave for yourself personally and professionally, and what legacy are you trying to leave for the next generation of legal professionals? But you kind of are one, actually. You are an inspiring leader. Thank you.
This doesn't sound morbid, but like, you know, God forbid it's your funeral and people are talking, you know, giving eulogies.
Thanks, Elijah.
Exactly.
What are they saying about you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
what did Jenny
leave?
Do on this earth?
Yeah.
What, like, dream goal? Not like dream goal, like, what do you want to be and how do you want your life to be? But like, what impacts would you like to have, I guess, on the wider population? Or how would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, very nice way to put it, Elijah.
Tough one, right? Take your time. You ask the good questions on this
have
one.
To be. We like to interrogate.
Yeah, that's a good
this
question.
This is an interrogation box.
Yeah, yeah.
Say
yeah.
this
yeah.
in the
we
first
put
episode.
You on the stand. Yeah. You're in my courtroom now.
Where's my gavel? Someone get my gavel, man.
I think looking to the future, I see my role as a barrister evolving into one where I can make a bold impact both inside and outside of a courtroom. I feel like inside the courtroom, I hope to take on challenging cases that kind of push the boundaries of the law and set important precedents. And outside of the courtroom, I aim to continue my work in advocacy and mentoring, essentially like championing causes related to access to justice and diversity in the profession. So I'll say that my ultimate goal is to be a voice for those who need it most and to contribute to shaping a fairer legal system. Yeah.
Wow.
That was very nice. I need to stop saying nice. Honestly, that was very empowering. That is what we're going with. That was very empowering. Well, Jennifer, it's been a true pleasure to hear about your journey and the incredible work you're doing. I look forward to seeing your journey as you keep growing. Your passion and your advocacy shines through. And thank you for joining us today.
Jenny, I'll see you in the next meeting next week or whenever we've next got to catch up.
No,
but honestly, like, thank you so much for coming on platforms like this and like talking about your experience. And I know one thing that I think when I was growing up as a young black male, you always want to see those who are at the finish line of their careers giving the talks and stuff. And I think what's really empowering with you is you've done so much so early on and you've got so much more to do and so much more to go through, and it's just really inspiring to kind of hear your story, even if it is for me maybe the gazillionth time, because I love hearing it. But yeah, like, thank you so much for coming.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah,
talk the truth, guys. Make sure you pray. Prayer is very important. Go to church if you want to go to church. Just pray. Prayer will help you get through things. Good night.
Especially the bar, because that's what helps you get through.
Especially the bar.
Thanks
for having me, guys.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to the special episode of Trailblazing Leaders of Tomorrow. Stay tuned for more inspiring stories. Until next time, and hopefully if you keep coming, Jennifer may be back.
Woo!
Keep trailblazing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.